Glad to see you guys today. So just to kind of recap everything that Aisha was talking about, and just to kind of tell you a little bit more, because I know a lot of you don't know, Project Community was something that was put together with the hopes of just uniting the community. And the whole concept behind it is when COVID was kind of at its peak, we looked around at all the nonprofits in Clarksville, and we didn't want to duplicate anything that anyone was doing. We wanted to help everyone that was doing positive things. And so out of that came Project Batman, which I'm not going to elaborate on, but it's a cool name, right? Project Batman. Okay, cool. And maybe I'll tell you about that sometime. But came Project Batman. We were able to help with some of the local food banks, volunteering alongside them rather than starting our own food bank. We realized that they didn't have a way to deliver food to individuals who were trapped in their home, whether they had COVID or they were elderly and they were told not to get out. So we started doing all this. That led us to the thought, well, if we can do that, how else can we unite our community? And so we've got some really cool stuff in the works that we'll kind of tell you about more as we go. But the whole idea and the whole concept behind Project Community is just to unite all of our nonprofits in Clarksville so that nobody's duplicating the same things over and over, but that we're all able to support the community of nonprofits and help those organizations be lifted up. So with that being said, I'm going to kind of transition us into today's message. We're starting a brand new series today, y'all, and I'm really excited about this one. It's called Family. And so that's why we have the bracelets, Family by Choice, because we are a family by choice, right? Like, we choose to be a family together. Like, everyone in this room, we're choosing today to be here together, and we're choosing to be a family together. And so as we go through this message series, we have some family values, okay? So we have some family values. When you are a little kid and you're at home, your mom and dad would sit you down sometimes and they would say, hey, at this house, you will, and usually it was like, obey your mom and dad and eat what's cooked for you. You know, I'm not fixing you something extra. You're going to eat what we eat. There were some family values, some things that your parents instilled inside of you. And that's kind of what we're hoping to do through this message series over the next few weeks, is to instill these family values into you. Now, what's unique about this is that I'm not going to stand up here and tell you what those family values are. What we're going to do is we're going to have people come up and we're going to have them tell you what those family values mean to them. So a few weeks ago in our last series, Jared talked all about humility. And during that message, one of the main things that I took away from that message was that every single person has something to teach us. No matter how young they are, no matter how old they are, no matter how rich they are, no matter how poor they are, every single person has something that they can teach us if we're willing to humble ourselves and listen. So with that being said, as we go through this message series and as we talk about these family values, if you have a notebook with you, take some notes. Somebody's going to say something, and you're going to go, whoa, and then you're going to want to remember it later. So write it down. If you don't have a notepad with you, pull out your phone. I won't think that you're texting. I'll think that you're taking notes. So take notes on your phone. Take notes on a notepad, because there's going to be some stuff that's said even today that's going to be wow moments that you're not going to want to forget. And so as we go through this series, you can see we have all of these wonderful family values, things that we hold true to ourselves. And today I'm really excited for this first set here. And so our first one we're going to be talking about today is contagious joy. There we go. I said it right. And so the scripture we're going to be using for today is Romans 12:12. And it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So with that being said, Haley, would you come on up? Let's give it up for Haley, y'all. All right, so the way that we're going to do this is I'm going to ask Miss Haley a series of questions, and she's going to answer those questions. And as she talks, she's going to be talking about contagious joy. Now, you can see the smile on her face right now, right? Okay, yeah, that's contagious joy, in case you were wondering what it was, okay? So question number one, Miss Haley, what does contagious joy mean to you?
So when somebody, like, is smiling and is happy, and somebody sees them, like, smiling, then they may get happy and smile too.
Yeah, so it's like a chain reaction, right? Mm-hmm. So if one person smiles at someone else, then it rubs off on someone else and someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So as they are smiling, what does that, if someone smiles at you, what does that do for you?
It makes me happy and smile too.
It makes you happy and smile too. Now look around the room, you're smiling. Now look how many other people in this room are smiling, right? That's contagious joy, all right. Done. No, I'm just kidding. Lesson learned. Question number two. How have you experienced contagious joy in your life?
So sometimes I'm feeling a little sad, and me and my mom put on some music, and I get really happy.
So what is it about the music that makes you happy?
I guess because we're worshiping God, and God is giving us joy.
So when you are listening to worship music, that gives you joy because you're worshiping God, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff, y'all. So when you're feeling sad, turn on some worship music. Easy, right? So in that, what role does God play in that contagious joy?
He is the one that gives you the joy.
Okay. And what have you learned from God or even from your parents about joy?
That I can get it just by worshiping him.
Good. Very good. So, one more question for you. How can we show contagious joy to others and to each other as the family of God?
By telling other people about God and smiling to them.
Yeah. What are some other ways, do you think? Maybe by helping others? Would mm-hmm. that think that would bring contagious joy?
Yes.
What have you done to serve others recently? I know you've done some stuff.
I have been smiling at them a lot.
Smiling at them a lot? Yeah. Now, you did some cleanup stuff too, didn't you? Did we go to the park? Remember
yeah.
that? Yeah. How do you think that brings joy to people when we clean up parks?
Because they see us doing that, and then they feel happy.
They feel happy because their park's clean, right?
Uh-huh.
And so they don't see a whole bunch of trash laying on the ground, and they go to the park, and there's not a whole bunch of trash because guess who cleaned it? Haley cleaned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So smiling at others is a thing that can bring contagious joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said that helping others is a way that can bring contagious joy. And what was the last one?
Cleaning the park.
Cleaning the park. Cleaning the park can bring... Now, when you were cleaning the park, let me ask you this. When you were cleaning the park, how did that make you feel?
It also made me feel happy.
Why did it make you feel happy?
Because you were doing something good.
You were doing something good for someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you are feeling sad and you want to feel happy or you want to feel joy, you said that you listen to worship music. But then it also sounds like when you help others, that can also bring some contagious joy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just to you, but to someone else too, right?
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. All right. Do you have anything else you want to tell people about? How about the book?
Oh, yeah. So in school, I've been reading about a book that's called On the Bright Side. And it's about, like, people that are going through hard things, and they always can find a bright side.
That's good stuff. That's a good book. I think some of us adults need to read that book, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. I think you need to borrow that book and bring it to me, and I'll read it sometime.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's good stuff. All right, y'all. Let's give it up for Miss Haley. Didn't she do a fantastic job? Awesome. 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 All right. So the second part of that scripture today that we were reading in Romans 12:12, be patient in hope. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And so Miss Laura Murray is going to come up, and she is going to talk to us today about unwavering hope. Miss Laura. Y'all give it up for Laura.
Okay, can't believe y'all made me go after Haley. Oh, I'm smiling.
All right, sorry. I spaced out for a minute. Yeah, that's my bad. All right, so question number one. What does unwavering hope mean to you?
So unwavering hope is knowing that whatever I'm going through in this life, like it's temporary. No matter how bad I'm suffering or what kind of heartache I'm going through, it's temporary. This life is temporary. And not only is it temporary, but I'm not going through it alone. Like God's always there and he's always got my back. And when you know those two things, there's hope. Hold on,
She has scripture.
I have scripture. When I think about that, I think of John 16:33. It says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. So if the person who defeated death can sit there and tell you, don't worry, I got this, that gives you hope.
That's good. So how have you experienced unwavering hope in your life? Tell us your story.
Okay, so some of you were there and saw this and went through this with me and you were there for me. Some of you don't know my story. And I'm going to try to wrap it up real quick, but not leave out the important stuff. In 2018, I went through a divorce after 15 years of marriage. And I had a 15-year-old daughter. And then I immediately found out that I had cancer. So it kind of, you know, I'm not going to say I wasn't shaken. Anybody that's going through all that at once is going to be shaken. But God was there. Like, anytime I felt fear, it was immediately just taken away by knowing that he was there for me. And so, like I had sang, you know, I'd been a worship leader for about 14 years before that. And so I'd sat there and sang all these songs about, you know, the firm foundation and the solid rock on which I stand and my anchor. And I believed them. But now I'm getting a chance to go through it and actually experience it. And so God showed up big time. So I had thought of myself as a failure for having to go through divorce. I know some of us in here have had to deal with it, and I felt like a failure. But God, like, used people, and he used songs, and he used scripture to remind me that I'm his child, and he still loves me. And I've never felt more loved than when I went through this time. And in all that I went through being sick, he sent people to my house with money. He sent people to my house with food, so much that we had to freeze it, a lot of it. He sent people to my house to pray for me. I went through radiation treatments, had to drive to Little Rock and back every day for 6 weeks. He sent people to drive me. People that I did, like my student's mom, people that weren't even like family, people in the community that I hadn't seen since I was a little girl were showing up saying, hey, I want to drive you to Little Rock today. And so I was just totally overwhelmed constantly at the love that he was sending me through the people in my community and the people in my school and the people in my church and my family. And so we were singing this song this morning about, and it said that line about, help me out. And I've never been more glad. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so everything's falling apart, but I've never been more glad. And so I think about this scripture in James. I'm not going to look it up, but it's talking about count it joy when you go through suffering. I always thought that was a really stupid verse. I'm sorry, but I was like, why would you count it joy when you go through sorrows and when you go through suffering? But y'all, I did. I look back at that time in my life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything because, you know, Haley talked about how, you know, it makes her feel joyful to sing. That's the only thing I knew how to do. When I looked at what was before me and I looked at how desperate it looked, the only thing I knew how to do was lay in that bed and worship. And so I had my music on YouTube, my little playlist with my worship songs, and two of them were on the songs we did this morning too, by the way. You are good. And you can sit there, and when you're focusing on you are good, not my circumstances. My circumstances are horrible right now, but you're good. That's the only way I made it through. The only thing I knew how to do was worship, and that's all I could do. And that was the most intimate time I've ever had with God, and it was worth it.
No, that's not rambling. That's good. So in all of this, you talked about the others helping you and driving you places and sticking with you through this and you feeling loved. What role in that did God actually play?
God sent those people.
Yeah.
God sent those people to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah. Yes. So in through all of that, what did you actually learn? What did you learn through this process?
Well, I learned that I'm not going to have to be afraid. You know, when I can go through that, y'all, I should have been terrified a lot. I mean, I should have been just, but I wasn't. And people looked at that and saw it and went, why has she got so much peace? Well, because of him. So I learned that I don't have to be afraid. He's got me. He's going to provide for me. He's really going to love me. He's really going to be that firm foundation. And I just have to let him.
Yeah.
Not focus on me and not focus on the bad that's happening, but to put my focus on him. And in my way, it was through worship. From somebody else, it may be prayer, or it may be going out into on a hike, or
yeah, serving
however
others.
You feel comfortable.
Yeah. So, how can we show unwavering hope to each other as the family of God?
Okay, so I have a verse for this one too. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering. So we've got to tell our stories to each other. Like, we have to, when we go through this stuff, the confession of our hope, we have to tell people where our hope lies. And in sharing with each other, we bring down these walls. And then when somebody else goes through it, maybe they're more comfortable, you know, going to somebody else within this church or, you know, within their family and sharing and letting them help them through. God sent. Now, here's the cool thing. The people that were coming to help me were Father John from the Catholic Church down the road. People in Texas at my aunt's church. There were people from every denomination and every different. So we don't help each other just within these walls. We help each other, everybody. And so when you're going to step out and help each other, serve others, just like Haley said, serving others, it spreads joy, but it also brings hope. Because I couldn't have made it through without all those people. So yeah, I think just telling your story and being a part of somebody else's story.
Yeah, and so what I hear you saying is that sharing your story with everyone is potentially going to spread that hope, that unwavering hope, to others that may be going through something similar, or maybe even that they're just struggling in general, and they hear your story, and they can feel and sense the peace and the hope that you have and the joy that you have inside of you. And I'll say this about you. Before you went through all of this, and I knew you, You were quiet and you were kind of shy, and you I don't know that you would have been sitting up here telling your story had you not gone through that difficult situation. And yet today, here you are sitting here completely unshaken, not nervous. Maybe you are, but you're not showing it. Bold and confident, and when you lead worship, you exude this confidence and this boldness that you didn't have before you went through this situation. It was this that God actually built the confidence inside of you, that grew inside of you to help you become the Laura Murray that we all knew that you could be, to the point that where today people can look to you for that hope because you have that inside of you, a rock that's built inside of you. You've gone through situations and things in your life that a lot of us haven't gone through, and so you have this strength inside of you that some of us can't even fathom or even think about because you've been through so much. And so when you look at other people's situations, you can say, hey, if I can do this, you can do that, right? And so I think that's what it's all about. How many surgeries did you have?
I don't remember. I know that I had one to remove the tumor. I either had two or three where they had to go back in there because I had infections in my brain. And then after I went through the radiation, it destroyed the barrier that they had built where they had removed skull. So I had to go back in for another 14-hour surgery to repair that. And it was funny because I think back, the doctor told me that night when he was explaining everything to me that's going to happen the next morning. He was like, you understand this is a life-threatening procedure. And I'm like, yeah. And so then he's talking some more about what's going on. And then he's like, so you understand that this is a life-threatening procedure. And I was like, yeah. And I look back at that now, and he probably was so confused because I wasn't freaking out. Or, I mean, like, either it's going to go my way or it's not, but I don't have control over it, so I might as well just trust in God, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And the reason I ask that is because I don't want to underplay the severity of what was happening in your life at that moment. Yeah. Because the thing that could have potentially killed you, the thing that was sent to potentially destroy you, actually was the very thing that built you and that helped you to grow and that helped you to become the person that you are today.
And it proved so much about what God says he is.
Yeah.
God says this stuff, it's true. And it just going through that solidified it for me.
So what would you tell people that are sitting out here who are dealing with a situation right now?
Well, the number one thing, guys, is you can't focus on that situation. You know, like the verse says, if you're going to have trials, you're going to have sorrows. You can't focus on that. Find a way to focus on him. Find a way to remember how good he is. And that's why I say share your story. I got through because I knew other people's stories. I knew if he did it for them, he's going to do it for me. And so if you need to find somebody to talk to that can help, like maybe you haven't gotten far enough in your journey with him to know everything God says about himself. There's people in here that will sit down and talk to you and remind you, tell you, teach you. Just, that's all. Just focus on him and dig deeper into your relationship with him.
Yeah, and as we dig deeper into that relationship with God, it plants that firm foundation that we can build our lives upon, because we know that once we have that foundation of knowledge of who God is, then that begins to strengthen us and allows us to become who God has called us to be and finding our purposes within our lives. And so, you know, I think through all of this that you've been through, this has taught you this unwavering hope. And that's why we brought you up here, because we feel like you are an expert in that. We feel like you are the person that needed to tell them what it looks like to have that unwavering hope, just like we brought Haley up to talk about contagious joy, because y'all were giggling when she was up here, right? Because you felt that contagious joy coming off of her. And so, like, Aisha came in this morning, and she was so bubbly, and she had this joy, like just this anointing on her this morning as she walked through the doors, and it spread like a wildfire, y'all. Like, seriously, it spread like a wildfire. And so as we enter into situations, as we enter into literal rooms, right? As we enter into work, as we enter into our friends' houses, as we enter into our homes, the attitude that we bring into those places is what's going to spread. And so just like that, with the joy, the same is true with the hope. The attitude that we allow in here and in here is what's going to spread. What we allow here and what we allow here is going to spread. And you know what it feels like, and I'm sure all of you have been in this situation before, right? You go into work, or you go into a classroom, or you go into your house, and one person in the room has a bad attitude. Do you feel it? Immediately, right? It's like, nope, I'm not going in here today. Peace. See you later, right? The same is true when you have that joy. When you enter that room, you can feel, I could feel it coming off of Aisha when she stepped through. I was like, Aisha's here, right? Because I could feel it. It's the same, y'all. When we are able to mentally prepare ourselves every single day, mentally prepare ourselves to have that joy and that hope inside of us, and we allow that to spread throughout us, that is what's going to be a game changer, not just for us, but for the people who are around us, because it's infectious, like Haley's smile, right? It's infectious, and we begin to rub off on others. So every day it's a struggle up here, and it's a struggle here, but that's what God is for. That's how he helps us. That's how he allows us to become who we want to be. Do you want to add anything else to that?
I don't know. I've said nothing that was in my notes, by the way.
Do you want to say something that's in your notes?
No. I mean, God told me what to say. So we're good.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to have the worship team come back up, and we're going to do Firm Foundation, the first song that we did, one more time. And as we do this song, I want you guys just to think about what was said today and what we discussed. But before we do that, I want to read this scripture to you. But as I read it, I want us just to kind of take a moment, and I want us to just really focus in on God and focus in on his promises and his truths. So if you would, and I know this is kind of weird, and some of you may not be comfortable with it, whatever, but if you would, just close your eyes for just a minute. Bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to read this scripture, and I want you to really focus in on what this scripture means to you, what this scripture means to you as far in regards to your joy and your peace, and to that contagious joy that you have inside of you. It's in Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear down and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all of their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything that God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for these truths. We thank you, God, for just everything you're doing in our hearts and in our lives right now in this moment. God, my prayer for everyone today is that we would begin to just inspect the deepest, darkest places in our hearts and in our minds, God. That we would begin to uproot all the negativity, that we would begin to uproot all the things that are causing us, God, to not be joyful, to not have hope, to not see our future the way that you want us to see our future. God, and as we uproot those things in our hearts, as we uproot those things in our mind, God, I pray that you would replace those things with the promises that you've told us, that we do have a hope, that we do have a future, that we do have promises in you, God, for joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control, God, that we have these things in our lives, God, that you begin to plant inside of us that are going to begin to grow and sprout up to choke out the negativity, to choke out the bad thoughts, to choke out the addictions, to choke out all of the things, God, that are making us sour. Lord, we love you. We thank you for advance for what you're going to do.